What did I speak on last week? Anyone remember? Choose life. Amen. And today I want to speak on learning to choose life with our words. Amen. How many people have had someone speak to them and it really affected them badly? Anyone? Come on. That school teacher. You know, I remember my teacher said to me, "Whitehead, they say you're dyslexic, but that's just a middle-class word for thick." You know, the things they used to say back then, you wouldn't get away with that today. Sometimes it can be an authority figure over you. You'll never amount to anything. I remember one time in our previous church, we had a weekend away, and this girl had a really lovely, godly mum and dad, both Christians, both brought her up really well. But in a moment of frustration, of course, you wouldn't know how getting frustrated with your children, you're all perfect parents here, but in a moment of frustration, her mum, who wasn't in our church, but just lived somewhere else, said to her daughter, "I hate you." Ever said something you don't mean? Oh. I must be in the most holy church. This church is just so holy. I know you can't relate to a lot of what I'm talking about, but, you know, and you know, that mum had said hundreds of wonderful things about her daughter over many, many years. But those words went right into her heart. And we had to just pray. She had to forgive her mum. And we just had to break the power of those words. And then I've got her to speak out the good words, her mum. Oh, my mum said she really appreciated me. My mum said this, my mum said that. There's great power in words. Do you know, I grew up with a saying, anyone else grew up? Sticks and stones will hurt my bones, but words won't. Well, they may not hurt your bones, but they hurt your heart. Amen? And God wants us to learn to use words well. Amen? Do you know, words are the most powerful thing in the universe. Do you know words created all things? Someone said, "Oh, it doesn't matter what they say." It does. God, in fact, it says Jesus, who was the Word of God, through him all things were created. And so it was him who said, "Let there be." And those words that was God's word carried the power of the Holy Spirit to create the heavens and the earth. Amen? Amen. So words are powerful, really powerful. The number one, I think Jesus, the main title, but what certainly John's gospel gives him is he is the Word of God. He is the Word made flesh. If you want to know what the Word looks like, look at Jesus. Amen? Because he is the Word in human form. Even though he's the Son of God, he's the Son of Man. Fully God and fully man. Words are how you got saved. If you believe, where? In your heart, and confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, you're going to be saved. If you mean it deep down, truly give your life and make him Lord. You know, in the old days, in the old feudal system, you would confess loyalty to the Lord, who, and he would confess loyalty to you, that he, his duty was to protect you. So you would make that person your Lord. Hallelujah. Glad we don't have to do that anymore. But I have made Jesus my Lord, and he is my protector. Hallelujah. So I want to start looking at words and looking at scriptures on the word. And I believe today we are going to change. Amen. So you ready? Okay, this is a tough one. I try and start with the tough ones. We all stumble in many things. Is that true? Oh, thank you. Oh, good. I'm I feel better now. If anyone does not stumble in word, he's what? Perfect man. This. You know, Charles Spurgeon tells the story. He was up arguing with this Christian preacher who says, "I have entered sinless perfection. I no longer sin at all." And Spurgeon, he was a great preacher, but he was also very cunning. And he came down for breakfast, and there was the man having his cereal. He picked up the jug of milk and poured it all over his head. And the guy let off these words that you're not meant to say. And Spurgeon said, "I told you. Don't try that at home, please." If you can control your mouth, essentially you are controlling every part of you. It's a bridle to the whole body. We put bits in horses' mouths so they may obey us, and it turns the whole body. Your tongue will turn the course of your life. Look at ships. Though they are large and driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a small rudder. A small rudder. This is one of the smallest parts of you. But you set a rudder the wrong direction, and you might think you're going to New York and you end up in Argentina. This is like a rudder to your life. Oh, it's gone quiet here in this lovely Quaker church today. They are driven by fierce winds. They turn by a very small rudder wherever the pilot desires. Even so, a tongue is a little member and boasts great things. It can set a forest on fire. Do you know, in Greece, some of those fires were started just by someone with a cigarette just tossing it out the window, and that burnt down a whole forest. Just a few words can start a war. Hello? I see that in children's playgrounds. You're a da-da-da-da-da. There's a war. Just a little one, but words can do great damage and can be a great blessing. No man can tame the tongue. What I would say is this. No man without God can tame the tongue. But God can help us. Amen? With it, we bless God, the Father, and the Father. And with it, we curse men who are made in the similitude or the image of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not be so. Does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? Don't say amen, say ouch. You know, Peter went up to Jesus and said, "You are the Christ, Son of the living God." The next chapter, now Jesus says, "Wow. Flesh and blood hasn't revealed that to you. You got that straight from the Father." He got what God said. Next chapter, Jesus, you know, you keep talking about this cross business. I don't think you need to do that. And what did Jesus say? Get behind me, Satan. He was listening to the other guy. Amen? And one of the things that's always amazed me and over the years, sometimes I've heard some of the most anointed preachers and the anointing comes on them and they preach God's word. And I think, wow, these guys, they must be infallible. They're so anointed. And then I drive them somewhere and help them to their home. And they're just, oh, this guy is useless and this is rubbish. And I'm like, come on. It shouldn't be blessing and cursing coming out of the same mouth. Amen? And we can all be like Peter, hearing God, we're so spot on. And the next minute we're saying stupid things. One of the most stupid things that I hear, and sometimes I even hear it from my own mouth, is we do ourselves down. We get up, Sunday we're at church, and it was better than the nightclub. We were worshiping. We were doing unusual dances. We were flowing. We were in the glory. Monday morning. Oh, Rick. I hate Mondays. You start singing that Boomtown Rats song, those of you who can tell me why I don't like Mondays. And then all these things, you start. Oh, I hate my boss. Oh, I hate this job. You need to ask God, what are you calling me to say about this day? Amen? Try and get a scripture. God will give you a scripture to speak over your day. And when you see your boss and his chain smoking in front of you and going, argh, and then he tells you, as someone's already told me today, that your football team lost and rubs salt in the wounds. You pray, not in front of him necessarily, blessing. Amen? So it's very practical. There's a value on your tongues. We can be a polluted stream, where fresh water flows, and the other hand, all kinds of nonsense flows. God wants you to believe what he says in your heart and speak it into your situations. Amen? He wants you to be someone that is learning by the grace of God to control your tongue. I know someone came to me and said, I gave them a bit of my mind. Why? You keep giving pieces of your mind away, you're going to run out. You know, I said it as it is. Well, that's how you see it. But maybe it's not as it is. Maybe you need to understand it from how they see it. Maybe you need to understand it how God sees it. Oh, the UK is doomed. What's God saying about our nation? Or nation, sorry. Yes, we include, we still want you. We really want you. We really do. Scotland, we do love Scotland. And I'm glad you changed the leader of, anyway, yeah. So, oh dear, I don't know, one day I get someone, really get them into trouble. What's in your heart will come out of your mouth. That's why you need to keep filling your heart with truth, with his words. It will just come out. You know, we had the education secretary being interviewed and she thought all the microphones were turned off, and then she comes out with some expletive, and of course no one actually played the interview, they just played what she said afterwards. And you know, sometimes these politicians, they're so clever in front of the camera, but when you get behind the scenes and they don't realize, Gordon Brown had the problem as he was talking to someone. He said, oh, that idiot lady, But he didn't realize that the mic was still on. What we need to do is let God fill our hearts and let him change our hearts so we love people. We don't curse people. You know, I hear this teaching, we send the curse back to where it came from. No, we don't. Someone curses, we send back a blessing. That's what Jesus said, amen? Bless those who curse you, including your neighbor. Oh, it went quiet. It went very quiet just then. Okay, out of the abundance of the heart, what happened? The mouth speaks. A good man out of the good treasure in his heart brings forth what? Good things. An evil man out of an evil treasure brings forth evil things. I say to you, for every idle word that you may speak, you will give an account on the day of judgment. Oh, ow, ow, ow. Oh, I hate that person. You're given an account. Don't speak idle words. You know, someone recommended to me, and I've tried to live this, not every time, give the Holy Spirit 10 seconds before you speak in anger. One, can't stand it. Two, I do love them as well, you know, Phil. Three, I'm so frustrated with them. Four, I'm going to help you love them too. By the time you get to 10 seconds, you might be saying something that comes from God rather than your anger. 10-second rule. A good man brings good treasure. You know, your words can be like treasure. If I had a treasure chest at the front here, you'd all want to, oh, I want that necklace, I want that. Your words can be like a treasure. I look back over my education. I didn't get to Oxford, unlike some. I went to the teacher training bit, okay. It was still Oxford, though, but just on the edge. But how many of you can remember the words of a good teacher? And they just sat you down. And they said, I believe in you. And I can think back. There's some bad teachers. But I thank God for the good teachers. Some of them were Christians. And when everything was falling apart, they said, I know you can make it. Amen? How many of you can remember a Christian who spoke into your life when everything had fallen apart that just kept you going? Amen? That's what we can be to each other. Words are like treasures. Jackie Pullinger, before she went to the walled city in Hong Kong, it doesn't exist anymore, to minister to the drug addict. She's got an MBE or an OBE or some BE now. She's going to get an even greater reward in heaven. She went to various church leaders and they all said, that sounds crazy. And then in the moment where she was about to quit, she went to this vicar and said, oh, I've got this vision to do. And this Anglican vicar, under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, said, that sounds like God to me. And those words empowered her to go and obey God. Amen. There are people who come alongside us at different times and spoken into our life. One of them, Wynne Lewis, Carrie, kept going, I can't be bothered to get ordained. I can't be bothered to get ordained. I'm just going to serve Jesus. And every time he came to preach, he would just spend the whole of lunch badgering Carrie. When are you going to be ordained? When are you going to be ordained? He was really into women preachers. And eventually, hallelujah, she went for it. Amen. Your words can bring forth evil. You know, the spies, 10 of them said, we can't do that. Yeah, it's a good land, but the giants, there's no way we can defeat. It's impossible. There's no way we can do that. There's no way KCC can plant churches. There's no way, oh, we can do all this stuff with the community. Oh, there's no way we can do this or that or the other. What is God saying? Hello? And they said, God can't do it. They were giants. And they calculated all the reasons why. And you know, when you tell God that he's not true to his promise, you go, okay, you say that, that's what you'll get. But two of them said, we are well able to possess the land. Who do you say he is? What do you say about what he can do? Amen. Now, do I ever say stupid things? Oh, it's useless. You can repent. In fact, maybe even right now you can repent. Maybe you said something about your wife or your husband. Don't nudge anyone. Just say, Lord, forgive me for those words. I remember one time I was in Beirut and I heard the parents saying to their kids, you're useless, you are naughty. And I said, change that. Don't tell them that. Say what you did was bad, but you're going to be good and you're going to thrive. Amen? Speak words of life. Don't label people. Oh, that church is off the wall. Well, there are a few churches off the wall, but we bless them and we pray. Amen? Oh. Work by your words, you'll be justified. And by your words, you'll be condemned. It's so important. You declare what God says about you. We have this false teaching on humility. If we go around going, oh, I'm just a little worm, and I'm just a little, and I might just crawl my way into heaven one day, and he might just let me in if I'm really lucky. You need to repent. Because you're putting your mind above what God says about you. True humility is saying this, I may not feel it, I'm struggling to think it, but if you say it, it's true. And so I humble myself and I humble how I feel and what I may think, and I submit to your higher counsel, which is your word. Amen? Ha! You got saved when you turned and followed Jesus, believed in your heart, confessed him as your, turned from your sin, confessed him as your Lord and Savior. Amen? And at that moment, no matter how bad you are, no matter how many, you know, mistakes you've made, sins you committed, at that moment, you were justified. Just as if you had never sinned. Amen. It's not like you get saved and try and get justified. You get saved and you are justified. That moment. And then you begin a journey of sanctification, becoming more and more like Jesus. Amen. And by your words, you'll be condemned. I think, God, be careful. Be careful. By your words, those 10 spies, nah, God can't do that. Okay. You're staying, you'll never get in. You need to start saying what God says about you. Oh, I came into this faith with an inferiority complex. I just thought I was no good at any. And God said, if you carry on speaking like that, you are denying my redemption. And you're my child. You know, Prince William doesn't go around going, oh, I hope I'm going to be a good prince. He's taught, hold his head up high. You're royalty. Amen. Why do these Christians go around going, oh, woe is me. Oh, I'm just woo. No, you're part of the royal family. This is part of the royal family. I'm in very, very high company here. Hallelujah. You need to walk around this town like my dad's in charge of this. Lift your head. Lift up your head. I remember the vicar in the Anglican church I grew up in. He was walking across the golf course. And someone went up to him and said, excuse me, sir, this is private property. Why are you on this land? He said, well, actually, my dad owns it. And he goes, oh, I didn't know he had a son. Oh, okay, off you go. Don't try that on a farm. You'll have one of Nigel's friends on your back. Listen, we're children of God. We're born again. We're new creations. Oh, hallelujah. We are blessed with every spiritual blessing. Start speaking what God says about you. And start speaking what God says to those around you. Amen. One of the things I love about Newbury is in coming here, so many people, oh yeah, we're going to have a revival in Newbury. Oh yeah, this is the crossroads of people. You know, I've been to places and Christians have nothing good to say about where they live. It's different here because people are learning to bless and not curse where God has put them. Amen? Are you still with me? Okay, we're getting there. Psalm 141:3. This is David praying, set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. I think we should all pray this every day this week. Keep watch over the door of my lips. Amen. That's how I pray that. Because if you can get this under control, you are becoming like a perfect man. Amen. Learn to give him time to change what you say. Someone said he speaks before he thinks. Well, don't just think. Let the Holy Spirit work. I think I've told the story of someone that was very critical of the church we were pastoring. And we were in a leaders' meeting. And the guys leading it said, get into groups and pray for each other. And maybe you'll get a prophetic word. And I thought, yeah, I've got a word for this guy. Begins with R, repent. You know, I've got all this stuff. I want to just put him, straighten him out. And then God does a number on me. And I start prophesying things, the blessing of God, the things that God's going to do with him. And he starts crying. And he said, oh, Phil, maybe there is something in all this prophetic stuff after all. Yeah. Because God superseded my stupid thoughts. And I spoke what God was saying. Amen. Ask God, what is he saying? You can love Celtic fans. Bless Celtic. bless Newcastle even though they just cheated yesterday. No, no, I'm joking. Sorry, I'm going to bed. Watch your words, Phil. What are you preaching? Do what you're preaching. Yeah. A man's stomach shall be satisfied by what? Come on, say it. Fruit of his mouth. And from the what of his lips? The produce of his lips, he shall be filled. What's it say next? Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it eat its fruit. There are some people that I have literally traveled tens of miles just to get half an hour with them. There are other people that I will travel tens of miles just so I don't have to have half an hour with them. Sorry. I mean, okay. Because I know I'm not going to get words of life. But when I leave, I'm going to have to pray myself back into victory. But there are other people you get around them. People like Sharon Stone, who's had such a prophetic impact in our lives. And when they speak into your life, you just go, oh, thank you, Jesus. And when you get prophetic words, as I got up in Dudley some time back now, and they're talking about things you said in leaders' meetings and what God wants to do. They're talking about our house, and they didn't know anything about our house. And you go, God, you know all things. And those words keep you going. Amen. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. By a fruit of his mouth, your stomach will be satisfied. In other words, there are people that are sought out like Solomon. And when you get around them, they speak from the heart of God. Do you know, I want to be one of those people. I want that everyone that comes our way, even if we have to give a strong word at times, perhaps like today, maybe you're like, gosh, Phil, you're really getting under my skin. If I want to tell my children they're rubbish, I will. Well, don't blame me if they don't keep coming to church. Speak life. Speak from the heart of God. Those who love it will eat its fruit. There are some people I just love being around. And I see the fruit in their life. Because your mouth is like a rudder. And if you keep talking rubbish, you're going to head in the wrong direction. Speak life. Choose life. Speak life. Speak the word of God. Okay, it's gone quiet again. I'm nearly there. Some of you are like, oh gosh, I just want to have my lunch now. Let no, come on, say it with me. Proceed out of your mouth. But what is good for necessity, edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. That word corrupt literally means unwholesome, rotten, rotten words come out of your mouth. But what builds people up? Amen? Unwholesome, worthless words, idle words. Do you know we had a funeral again back in Chiswick? And there's this elderly man, and he had like 13 children, just, and I would go and see him, and he'd say, Phil, I'm so lonely. No one cares about me. Nobody loves me. I never see my sons, daughters. And he went to be with Jesus. And at the funeral came all the sons and daughters. And they all had that, got up crying, I love my dad. He was, did this, he did that, he did all these things. I love my dad, da, 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 da. They were all crying and crying. Wasn't it a shame? He never heard those words when he was alive. Sometimes we think, oh, I can't. I remember our neighbor saying, don't praise Silas too much. You know, make sure he stays, you know, pull him down a bit too. There are people around you that you can encourage, like Bola. Every newcomer, I don't get a hug, but they all get a hug. And they get welcomed and they get loved and they get a nice coffee and they're really well cared for. Listen, they're your sons and daughters. If you haven't been blessing them, pray for them, but also go and speak over them. Tell them what they mean to you. And get hold of something from God. Maybe you'll get hold of a word that talks about their destiny in God. Maybe you need to ask God to just rewrite the CD of your heart, that instead of cursing your child, you start blessing them and getting hold of what God says about them. So many Christian kids say, oh, I like Jesus, but all the things people said to me, they all pulled me down. No. Don't let a worthless, rotten word, a deathly word, proceed from your mouth. But what is necessity? In other words, what is good for that situation that God will give you? The Bible says that we will rightly handle the word of life, the word of God. Do you know a scalpel in the hands of a lunatic can kill people? A scalpel, although it's all different, you know, they have all these machines and laser beams, in the hands of a surgeon can save people. I've seen people use God's word to pull others down. And I've seen people use God's word to bless and transform. Amen. Words are powerful. Rightly handle the word of God. Amen. You know, sometimes there's someone, and I know they're not in a good place with God, and they're a bit backslidden, and I haven't seen them around, and God gives me a word of destiny for them. And I'm on my way and thinking, I'm gonna rebuke them, I'm gonna correct them, I'm gonna do all these things. And sometimes you need to do that. But then God gives me a word of destiny, and they start crying and they go, oh, I've given up on that. I'm gonna dedicate myself to Jesus afresh. There's words in season. God will give you words in season for one another, for children, even for people out there. Amen? Are you with me? Let no corrupt word. I'm gonna we'll do that another day. Speak God's word over the circumstances. You've heard me preach on this when it first came. Anyone can say a valley is full of dry bones. It's easy to say, oh, Britain is in a mess. Well, we know that. But what is God saying? Amen? And God could have got Ezekiel and sat him down and said, watch me do a miracle with these dry bones. But God is going to use you. you to speak what he says. Do you know in our prayer meeting on Wednesdays, we spend a lot of time just speaking what God says about this church. Amen? And he says, can these bones live? And of course, Ezekiel does what most British Christians would do. Oh Lord, you know. He does know. But he wants you to speak what he says. Prophesy to these bones and say to them, oh dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. And as he prophesied, they came together. Amen. There was a rattling and the bones came together. We all have days when we say things we shouldn't say. But God wants to cleanse us so that instead of cursing and blessing, we choose life. We choose what God says. Do you know, I just speak over this church, every valley will be filled, every mountain hill made low, every crooked way made straight, that all flesh will see the glory of God, that we will come into revival. You speak what God says. What's God saying about your life, your children, this town, this region? Speak what God says. Not just, I'm going to have an air-conditioned dog kennel. Well, you don't need one here anyway. What God says. Do you get that? I'm not saying just speak whatever you want. I'm saying speak what God says. Choose life. Choose life. And Ezekiel saw as he spoke what God said, God began to move. We work in partnership with God. Every revival, there's a forerunner. Evan Roberts, I see 100,000 souls being saved. He has people that get hold of what he says and pray and speak what God says. What's he say about your husband, wife? What's he say about your children? What's he say about where you work? What you do? Speak his word. Speak his words of life. I just go back to, we won't do blessing today, there's so much. I over prepare. I always do. Death and what? Life. Aware? And those who love it will what? You'll see the blessing on your children. You'll see the blessing. The Bible says you can bless in his name. The priests were called to minister to the Lord and bless in his name. You'll see the effect of your prayers. You'll see the effect. And you'll speak what he says over your life. Amen. Stop doing yourself down. Repent. Rethink. Change your thinking, literally. Choose life. Speak words of life. Amen. Why don't you stand? Hallelujah. Let's have the worship team back. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Just worship him right now. Worship him, worship him. And I know I've gone for the jugular, and you're like, you really annoyed me today, Phil. Well, bless me, okay? And just speak, just say, Lord, just repent of corrupt words, of idle words, of rotten words, of deathly words. Lord, forgive us, Lord. Forgive us, Lord, where we've spoken Lord, out of our frustration, out of our flesh, out of our anger, out of whatever it is, out of our natural perspective. And Father, we ask you to cleanse our mouths. We don't want to be a polluted stream. We want to be a pure stream. We want our tongue to come under your lordship. Set a guard over our mouth, Lord. Help us to be those who don't return curses with curses, but return curses with blessings, Lord. Help us, Lord, to be like children of God, declaring what you say, not what we think. Lord, renew our minds, renew our hearts. Let the overflow of our hearts, Lord, be treasures, bring treasures out to bless those around us, Lord. May our words impart grace, impart favor to one another. Lord, help us to bless our children, even when we've had a hard day with them. Help us, Lord, to bless those who are our bosses, those who have authority in our life. Lord, help us, Jesus, to bless our church, to bless one another, to encourage and edify and exhort one another. Lord, I pray that our words will bring life and that we will eat the fruit of speaking what you say. And all God's people said, Ade, I know, I just want you to put that back to where it was. And I want us, before we worship, I want us just to bless one another and do it out of the overflow of your heart. And then we're going to worship God. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, the front line, that's my fault. But you know the front line anyway, the top line. Let's just declare, and declare it like you really mean it. You are a priest, and you are called to bless in his name. Amen? The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you. The give you strength. Lord, lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen. Amen. We normally do that then, but let's just worship God now, because he believes in you. Amen. And he is for you. Amen.